You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Magecart Group 5 is linked to the Carbonac gang. Another reservation system brings a headache to hospitality. Another app is found to carry the Joker malware. Some more notes from Security Week's ICS Cybersecurity Conference in Atlanta, where the emphasis remains on attention to detail and taking care of first things first. And a list of the most dangerous celebrities offers a peek into the bad actor's tackle box. From the CyberWire studios at Datatribe, I'm Dave Bittner with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. Malwarebytes continues its study of the relationship among Magecart, and in this case it's specifically Magecart Group 5, the Drydex banking trojan, with which Magecart Group 5 appears to share some domains, and the Carbonac crime gang that seems to be behind both of them. Of interest in their current study is the conclusion that Magecart Group 5 represents an advance in sophistication over its predecessors. This criminal activity goes after bigger scores, and it compromises third-party suppliers, the better to propagate itself downstream. VPN Mentor discovered data exposed by Best Western's recently acquired AutoClerk reservation system. It appears to be another case of a misconfigured database. This one has drawn attention because U.S. government personnel, personal information, and travel itineraries were among the information open to inspection. It's probable that too much is being made of this. Truly sensitive military travel, for example, is unlikely to be conducted over a commercial reservation system. It's also worth noting that Best Western apparently inherited this issue when it acquired AutoClerk. VPN Mentor says they noticed the database a few weeks after Best Western made the acquisition. Comparisons are inevitably being drawn to Marriott's acquisition of Starwood, which enmeshed the hospitality firm in a messy incident also involving inherited vulnerabilities. Due diligence in acquisition is important, and that's a good lesson to learn, but it's also harder to do that than it seems to outsiders, which should also be noted, lest those staying in glass hotels throw too many stones. Pradio warns that it's found Joker malware in another app that's being offered in Google Play. The app in question is Int App Lock, which is intended to enable users to lock certain data behind a PIN. Thus, not every app that promises a measure of security or privacy delivers as advertised. Let the downloader beware. We've still got CyberWire team members down in Atlanta at Security Week's 2019 ICS Cybersecurity Conference. Touring the event floor, they're hearing some familiar observations. Industrial firms, the buyers of security, can find it difficult to distinguish among the products and solutions the vendors have on offer. And we continue to hear calls for better hygiene, for attention to the basics. In these respects, the OT space will sound familiar to those who are used to thinking of security for the IT space. Several of the lessons Thomas Pope of Dragos drew in his presentation this morning were of that variety. He advised his session on the importance of locking down permissions and that being able to see and understand data in the systems are paramount. He also urged the importance of harmonizing traditional IT and process data. Several presentations have made similar points. They've also noted areas where traditional IT and OT security tend to diverge. Where the differences emerge are the points where industrial systems raise issues of safety and where matters of process integrity become matters of physics. As operators concern themselves in particular with issues of sensor reliability and with the ways in which manual recovery may itself be rendered problematic. The conference program this morning took up the difficulties of blindness with respect to both programs and supply chains. Eric Byers, CEO of Aidolus, offered a moderately encouraging view of the challenges of developing a software bill of materials suitable for securing the supply chain. Robert Dyson, Global OT Security Services Business Leader at IBM, delivered a plea for attention to detail in the OT space and for applying the security lessons learned in IT environments to control systems. As you may know, tomorrow is the CyberWire's 6th annual Women in Cybersecurity reception. The reception highlights and celebrates the value and successes of women in the cybersecurity industry. We're grateful to our sponsors who help make this event possible. During the event, our guests will have an opportunity to hear perspectives on diversity in our industry from this year's hosting sponsor, KnowBefore, as well as representatives from our presenting sponsors, McAfee, Northrop Grumman, and Trinity Cyber. Our platinum sponsors include CenturyLink, Cooley, Exelon, and Recorded Future. We're grateful to all of our sponsors for making this year's Women in Cybersecurity reception possible, and we're looking forward to seeing many of you there tomorrow night. As our Women in Cybersecurity event approaches, we've been highlighting the successes of women in our industry. Mandy Rogers is one of those women. She's an operations manager at Northrop Grumman. We're proud to say Northrop Grumman is one of the sponsors of our event.
My unintentional cyber journey actually began when I was quite young. I grew up in a farm town in, southern Northern Virginia. My mother, who worked at Vint Hill in the Signals Intelligence Office, was a rental vehicle car dispatcher for that Vint Hill respective arm. And she would sometimes bring me to work or to her nighttime cybersecurity college classes that actually took place in a barn. So that was kind of those touch points that really early on, probably before I was even 10 years old, got me exposed to cyber.
So your mother had that interest of her own, and you saw that and thought that sparked your own interest.
Exactly. So I was always a technologically savvy child just because of us growing up in the age where we were starting to be on computers and starting to have personal home computers. Not quite young enough, I'll say, to have grown up with cell phones, but you know, I was definitely playing video games from a young age on booted from floppy disks, and that was very exciting to me. So fast forward 10 years from those young days, and I was in high school, still not really understanding the implications of cyber and technology just yet. And I go to enroll my senior year in this fashion marketing class, and it was the really cool elective that people took because we got to take field trips from our rural farm town to go see the Versace and the Louis Vuitton stores, and that was really kind of a cool interest of mine growing up. Fast forward, I get my curriculum for the year, and my fashion marketing class is not on there. I instead have this computer math course I've never heard of, nobody's ever taken before at my high school, and I go to my guidance counselor, and I'm like, hey, what is this? My elective's supposed to be fun. This doesn't sound fun. You know, I already am really good at math, and I'm taking the advanced courses in English and math. I want to transfer out of this. She told me, nope, the class is full. You're good with computers. You're good with math. Stick through it and get the easy A. That course ended up being the history of computers and also an introduction to programming. I found out I was really passionate about solving hard problems and learning how to do things a little bit more differently. And my male professor, my male teacher actually encouraged me to pursue STEM. And then my grandfather, also part of the cyber DNA that I didn't realize I had until much later in life, a career Navy cryptologist told me that I was going to be an engineer.
Now, do you, in retrospect, as you look back, do you think that that guidance counselor was actually sort of looking out for your best interest by insisting you be in that class rather than the fashion class you had your heart set on?
Absolutely. I think that there are a couple pivotal points in my life, and that might have been one of them. Actually, it definitely was one of them, where someone nudged me to go into an area that I wasn't really familiar with or what the grander impact really had on my life. Had I not taken that class, I wouldn't even know what an engineer looked like or what they did. Hmm. I wouldn't even know what computer programming really was, despite growing up in the days where we all had MySpace pages and we were coding in HTML and didn't even know it, right? Hmm. So it was really curious to be able to take that non-traditional path and have those people who intentionally engaged in my career.
So you finish up school and you head off into the workforce. Where did you begin there?
I was lucky enough to have multiple internships, one of which was with Northrop Grumman, where I worked as a software engineer in the intelligence domain. So I was able to firsthand very early in my career get that experience and that exposure into what it means to support mission very early on and how I can translate my technical skills to the workforce and mission. In the past 10 years since joining as an intern, Northrop Grumman has offered me opportunities to be a software engineer, test engineer, a program manager in cyber analytics, as well as even an innovator, right? My job coming into work every day was to innovate and look at how we do things a little bit differently. Hmm. Currently, I'm an operations manager, and that means that I support our gigantic portfolio of amazing talent on anything strategic and tactical around people and performance. And that includes helping our cyber workforce think about things a little bit differently on how we recruit and retain our talent.
Now that's interesting to me that in a environment where you hear of people hopping from company to company a lot, that Northrop Grumman has provided you the opportunities within to stay there, to feel challenged, to have new opportunities for growth. And you've been there, you say, around a decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's no secret, Dave, that there's a huge shortage of cybersecurity talent within our country and even globally. By 2021, the estimates at a global scale is that we'll have a 3.5 million people shortage of talent to be able to help us tackle our nation's hardest problems. The greatest thing about Northrop Grumman is that we do have this big portfolio of really exciting domains that we support, and cyber is really at the heart of all of that. Mm. Some of the really great things we're doing is to help bring in people who may not have a cyber background and help upskill them if they're curious about the domain or if they feel that they might need it to help support their job. We have an in-house cyber academy that helps upskill our talent and brings in some of the professionals who live in this world and are constantly upping their game to help us help our talent really bring it up that skill set. So about 4 years into my career, I really enjoyed mentoring and I took on a young male mentee fresh out of college. And we were working together day in, day out, trying to help show him how we utilize technology and in support of mission. And he actually stopped me one day and said, "Hey, look, you're capable. I think you need to look up this thing called imposter syndrome. You're here. You're amazing. You're competent. You're intelligent." And that was really a pivotal moment because I realized that I was capable, but I was too scared sometimes to raise my hand. And sometimes the mentee is the one that's bringing out that confidence, right, and trying to build up our confidence and reflecting on that. So that was really interesting. And I think that men and just everyone in general trying to figure out where we can build up confidence and maybe are hesitant in scientists and engineers is an important factor of us trying to build a more robust and diverse workforce.
That's Mandy Rogers from Northrop Grumman. And again, we are grateful for Northrop Grumman's sponsorship of our Women in Cybersecurity reception. And finally, are you a fan of celebrity news? You know who you are. Anywho, McAfee has offered its annual study of the most dangerous celebrities to search for online, the ones the Google turns up results that are likeliest to send the curious over to questionable sites. This year, the shiniest lure in the hacker's tackle box is Alexis Bledel, formerly of the Gilmore Girls, now of The Handmaid's Tale. The others in the top 10 were the talk show host James Corden, followed by Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, Anna Kendrick of The Twilight Saga, Jimmy Fallon, that other late-night talk show guy, the redoubtable Jackie Chan, who needs no introduction, rap artist Lil Wayne and Nicki Minaj, and finally, Tessa Thompson, everybody's favorite Valkyrie from that Thor movie. So stick to the tabloids in the supermarket checkout line, fangirls and fanboys. Oh, here's a point McAfee quietly makes. Searching for Alexis Bledel and Sophie Turner is strongly correlated with including the word torrent in the search. Far be it from us to pass judgment, but if you want to watch Handmaid's Tale or Game of Thrones, subscribe to them like a decent consumer. There's no such thing as a free lunch, we hear, or free premium content.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Ben Yellen. He's the Program Director for Public Policy and External Affairs at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, always great to have you back. Had an interesting ruling come down from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. This had to do with a company who was trying to gather some information from LinkedIn profiles. Unpack what's going on here.
So this company, HiQ, scrapes information that LinkedIn users have included on public profiles. So those profiles where users haven't included privacy settings to keep their profiles private. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is alleging that this violates the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, a federal law that prohibits unauthorized access to a network. And they sent a cease and desist letter to HiQ, demanding that HiQ stop scraping these public profiles. Obviously, this dispute went into federal court, and a district judge granted a preliminary injunction stopping LinkedIn from prohibiting HiQ from accessing these public profiles. So I think it merits a little bit of background as to what a court considers when it grants a preliminary injunction. So the main prong of that test for our purposes is there has to be a substantial likelihood of success on the merits of the case. And I'm going to get to that in a moment because I think LinkedIn's case is rather weak. But another key prong of that test is that HiQ would face irreparable harm if the injunction is not granted. And what the court here is saying is HiQ's entire business is aggregating data from these LinkedIn profiles. So if the court were to not grant this injunction, stopping LinkedIn from prohibiting access, then HiQ's entire business would be destroyed. And I think that's one of the key reasons that a preliminary injunction was granted, even beyond the actual merits of the case. Now, because this is just an injunction, we don't have a definitive ruling on whether HiQ is actually violating the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. The court sort of got into the details just for the purposes of evaluating HiQ's case to determine if they have any likelihood of succeeding on the merits. And the dispute seems to center around the word unauthorized access. And this court seems to believe that HiQ's technology does not consist of unauthorized access for the purposes of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, because they are simply aggregating data that is already public that can be scraped without accessing any secret algorithms, any private protected information, any internal LinkedIn documents or communication.
Right. So if I were, if I wanted to take this to the extreme, if I were someone just anonymously surfing the web, I could go to LinkedIn and with a pad of paper and a pencil, write down all the information here that's publicly facing. It would take me a lot longer than their bots.
It sure would,
but, but I could do it. I mean,
good luck with that. Yeah,
yeah, but it, but it's, in other words, LinkedIn is not attempting to restrict access to this information to the general public.
Right, and I think that's where they're really going to struggle on the merits of the case. HiQ is basically just doing what any average Joe could do, just in a extremely condensed time period. I think this is definitely a dispute to watch going forward, and it shows how when we're in this world of preliminary injunctions, the courts will consider the potential business impacts on these technology companies of some of these legal decisions.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it. Ben Yellen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire Daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. And for professionals and cybersecurity leaders who want to stay abreast of this rapidly evolving field, sign up for CyberWire Pro. It'll save you time and keep you informed. Listen for us on your Alexa smart speaker, too. The CyberWire podcast is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Stefan Vaziri, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpe, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.